Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, March the 12th. It's just gone 10 a.m. and you're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. And I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson. This show is for business owners or those who are thinking of becoming a business owner. Or as I like to say, where Wall Street meets Main Street. We talk about selling a business, buying a business or a franchise, and all the issues that go with owning or operating a business. For example, marketing, lending and finance, and other management issues. My name is Andrew Rogerson, a certified business broker and the host of your show. I'm a certified business broker with the California Association of Business Brokers. I'm also certified with the International Business Brokers Association. I'm an author of four books: Successfully Sell Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Start Your Business. And I'm an all-around nice guy with a funny accent, which is Australian, just in case you needed to know. Want to know a bit more about me? You're welcome to visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservice.com. Here you'll find about 220 blogs. You can sign up for a free monthly newsletter I send out. And I've got about 25 free documents for those that are thinking about buying or selling a business. And there's lots more information is there as well. If you want more about information about me, you're welcome to just do a Google search. Simply put in my name, Andrew Rogerson, Sacramento, and I should pop up on the first page of your Google search. This morning I've got a guest. He's a guest that's involved in helping people who want to turn around their business, or they may want to grow their business and take it to the next level. He was just talking to me about helping a customer take their business from about $1 million in sales up to about $50 million. So we have a guest that's involved in turnarounds and helping people grow their business. His name is Bob Grilley, and I'd like to introduce Bob to you today. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well, and thank you for being here, Bob. Tell me a little about your company. The company's called Grilley Lindsay Consultant Group. What are some of the things that you do for people, Bob?
Well, we started out to help people grow their business and find financing, my background being from banking. But we quickly found that businesses often have problems, especially in that cash flow arena. And over the last 4 years, we've been spending most of our time with distressed companies, unfortunately, as more and more companies have found that sales and the rough economy has made it impossible for them to keep their cash flow going. The cash flow problems have led to a lot of distress, a lot of situations where judges end up getting involved in the company from a standpoint of perhaps the banker wanting his money back, or perhaps a couple of stockholders arguing about how they're going to either run the company or perhaps dissolve the company.
So that expression, cash flow is king, continues to be the case, and I'm sure that's what you help people manage. If the cash flow is struggling, then the business is obviously struggling. So that's one of the primary things that you're involved with.
Very much so. Often we're brought there to reestablish the integrity of the company with its lenders or its suppliers so that they can then move on to the issues of actually just running their business.
So some of the requests to help you get, they may come from the business owner, or it may in fact come through a finance company or even through the courts.
That's correct.
Yeah. How many employees are there, Bob? How big's the company?
Well, there's four of us that work in the company. I have a CFO, former CFO of a Fortune 500 company. He's got a lot of experience in financial analysis and that sort of work. We've got a field supervisor, Terry Holliday, administrative assistant, and one other.
Okay. And what's Bob Grilley's role? What's your role at the company?
Well, and originally it was to help companies grow, do the cash flow forecasts, and help coordinate with the banker so that the growth could be managed. Today, and for the last 4 years, it's been to operate the companies under court supervision or organizations that had lost their credibility with their suppliers. So today I am responsible for the oversight of a light manufacturer that employs about 120 people. It's very successful, but the two stockholders are having a dispute. I've got a office building down in the Stockton area that's 44,000 square feet, a sizable building, but that, again, is a very tough economy. The banker and the borrower aren't seeing eye to eye. Last year, we ran a car wash successfully while we positioned it for sale. So we've seen about 150 different businesses over the course of my consulting career.
So how long has your career been, Bob? How long have you been doing this?
We've been doing it about 30 years. Okay. 30 years in July.
Okay. So. And what got you started? It's an interesting area of business that you're involved in, and it doesn't appeal to everybody, but what got you started?
Well, actually, in 1983, a company by the name of Made Right Meats here in Sacramento, they and their banker were disagreeing over some things, and I helped them get a new $3.2 million turnaround loan. That seemed to be the start and the end of it. We got it signed up on the night before Christmas. But about 90 days later, I got a call from the banker, whose voice was very distinctive, and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I heard on the other end of the phone, Bob, and I said, yes, and he said, Bob, there's two ways you can darken our doorway again, with our money or never. And at that, I said, Milad, you've got a problem. He said, no, Bob, you have a problem. We don't think we're going to get our money back. Mm-hmm. About 90 days later, we were fortunate enough to find a buyer who took over the company, was much better financed than the underlying owners. The underlying owners were very happy to leave the company and keep the 204 employees still employed. That led to a couple more of those sorts of transactions where we were brought by a lender to a borrower. We found that it was a very interesting transaction.
So you're talking about the last 4 years being mainly working with distressed businesses. So would typically you be called in to act as a liquidator? Is that part of the service you provide?
Well, it's certainly part of the service we provide, but it's not the we would prefer to work with the growing companies or operating companies where there's a dispute. The How About Arden Shopping Center here in Sacramento, we operated that for 3 years and finally got it the momentum that it needed to get back on its feet. It had gone through a bankruptcy, and we got it back on its feet, got it making money, and got it to a position where the banker could sell it on to a true operator, and it's a fairly successful business today.
So if you're not doing liquidation, then obviously you're working with the business and where it's at. What's the focus? What are you looking for? What makes it appealing for you to take on as a project?
Well, I think that, again, it's where we think we can add value is worrying about the cash flow issues, adding integrity, I hope, to the business, and buying it time, but always the issue of cash is king. You mentioned it very early in your program. Often I'm looking to see if we've got enough money to make it the next 7 days, but that's what it's supposed to be.
Yep. And you mentioned cash flow is king, which I get, but also your integrity is critical as well, because you're dealing with people who want to trust what you're doing. We're hitting a break. Thank you for listening today. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson, and we'll be back shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Hey, I appreciate you doing a testimonial for us.
You guys changed my life.
Well, thanks.
I'm on the radio?
Yep.
I'm on the air?
Yep.
And nobody knows it's me, right? Because I'm a very private person.
That's why we gave you a wig and blurred your face.
Oh, and did you disguise my voice?
Uh-huh.
Good. Ask away.
And what kind of job did you find at SacramentoHelpWanted.com?
Oh, a retail job. I posted a resume in minutes. It was free, super easy.
Thank you, Bunny Grosky. We appreciate your help.
Oh, you just said my name.
There's a delay. We can edit it out.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
No. SacramentoHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Let's see what we're looking for. Techies, nerds, geeks.
Dorks, dweebs, goobers, goofballs.
Misfits, bookworms.
Poindexters.
Good one. How about gurus?
Ooh, nice. But check this out. Turkeys, twerps, and twits.
At SacramentoHelpWanted.com, we have dozens, maybe even hundreds of technical job openings for qualified local job seekers listed on our website.
Know-it-alls.
Longhairs.
Lab rats.
I've been called an oddball.
And me, a rocket scientist.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Long name.
amazing results.
Here comes the 2013 Super 6 Golf Card. Play Whitney Oaks, The Ridge, Bass Lake, Diablo Grande, La Contenta, and Elkhorn. Six rounds of golf at six great courses. One ridiculous price.
$46.
No other offer matches that, not even CBS or Sacramento Bee. Click on Crazy Price Mall at the Money1055 website or go to crazyprice.com.
The Super 6 Golf Card. Six rounds of golf. Only $46. $46. Go to crazyprice.com. crazyprice.com.
Money experts. Every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back and thank you for listening. This morning on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0, I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson, and I'm a certified business broker. This morning, my guest is Bob Grilley from the Lindsay Grilley Management Group. And we're talking to Bob. We're talking about distressed businesses. We're talking about businesses that want to grow. And we're just focusing on the different opportunities that, are available right now in the economy and how the economy is affecting different businesses. Before the break, Bob was just talking about some of the distressed businesses he's helped. So, Bob, who's likely to call and ask for your help? Is it the business owner, the bank, or maybe it's somebody else like a CPA or attorney? Who's likely to give you a call?
Well, often it is the professional that brings us to the party, but it's not uncommon for any of those group of professionals, the attorney or the banker or the businessman themselves. Usually, if it's the businessman, they've got a specific problem or issue that they're involved in. Sometimes it's on the referral of a banker, and sometimes it's on the referral. There's three or four of us who do the work that I would do, and sometimes the owner is given a list and told, hey, you got to call one of those people.
Right. So Bob's with the Lindsay Grilley Management Group. If you've got questions for Bob, you're welcome to give him a call. Obviously, you can't call him now because he's here talking with me, but if you want to get hold of Bob, his phone number is 916-484-4800, and he'd happy to talk to you, understand your situation, and give you some thoughts on how we can help you. So don't be afraid to reach out to Bob. Bob, before the break, we were talking about cash flow and how important cash flow. Cash flow is king. If you get a call from a potential client, where do you typically start? What are you looking for?
Well, again, we're going to start with the cash flow. We're going to start looking to see if the company's got viability over the next short period of time, because that's going to determine. It's not uncommon for me to have a client who's gone to his bank on Monday and said, look, I need to borrow for my payroll on Friday or I'm not going to be able to make it, and be told, look, you bring us a cash flow forecast that says we're going to get our money back, and we'll be happy to entertain the loan. The owner's given three names. On Tuesday, there's a bunch of rapid calls. On Wednesday, there's a bunch of interviews. It's not uncommon for I and one or two of my competitors to be sitting in a room, even together, talking to an owner about what our protocol, what our approach would be. Ideally, we'd make a six-week cash flow forecast, and then we'd go back to the bank on Friday, as quickly as Friday, with an idea of what the company's going to be able to do or not do. And usually it evolves into a discussion of, you need to make the payroll now, but you also need to cover the expenses for the next 3 to 4 weeks while we get through an issue that's going on within the company. Those forecasts then become the basis for a weekly response either to the bank or to the suppliers. And then working through what does and doesn't work and what actually is going on with cash within the company. It's one thing to say you've got a checking account. It's another to say that you can pay the bill next week.
So I can see time is just critical to what you do. So if you have very somebody good. Call you on Monday and they've got a cash flow problem on Friday, you haven't got time to get a committee together and make a collective decision. It's all hands on deck.
It's one of the things I love about this business is that we go from phone call on Tuesday to track shoes on Wednesday.
Right.
And then it's a sprint. And I recall one of the first forecasts that I handed a banker for the next 6 weeks. In the first week, it had a $25,000 hole, meaning we didn't have $25,000 and we needed to have the banker agree to that. And he said, well, you don't even know where it's going to be spent. And why I thought you were a professional. And I had to look at him and say, you know, in 2 days, I can tell you it won't be more than $25,000. We got the loan. We got going. We didn't use all 25, but we did use $20,000. And without that, the company would not have made critical purchases, kept its payroll in place. And while that company ultimately sold, it didn't end up being a great turnaround, but it did end up being a much better position than where it was the Tuesday we started.
So the integrity you bring to the situation is critical, because the owners probably lost a lot of enthusiasm. The banks have lost a lot of enthusiasm because they've got a lot of money at risk. And so the integrity and the analysis you bring and the speed with which you can move are obviously critical components.
For instance, in the case that I was just talking about, the owner, who was an outside salesman, had left the company in the hands of his CFO. Probably the first day I was there, there was a good indication, because as I drove up, a Continental Mark IV drove away, and I went, oh gosh, I've missed the owner. I went in, asked for the owner, just planning on leaving my business card, and the secretary said, well, he's here, he's out in the shop, he'll be right back. Come to find out, it was the CFO that had left in the Lincoln Continental, and it was the owner that was there pounding the floor. They'd lost $500,000 in various ways that at least pointed towards the CFO. That was a company that had integrity, could sell its product, but it couldn't handle its position at that very moment.
Right. What do you do if you come across a business where it should be viable, but it's not, or the owners are just tired? What do you typically do in that situation?
Well, in that situation, often the it's often a situation where they're going to be coming to you if they're tired.
Right.
To sell their business.
Yeah.
You sell a lot of business. What brings owners to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Tired and burned out and just have no enthusiasm for the future. So they're looking to me to develop an exit strategy for them and let them get out and go and do something else.
And sometimes it's a situation, at least for me, where they would sell, but they owe more than they can get for their business.
Right.
So they have to write a check just to get out of business.
And so a critical step in that then is obviously doing a valuation, because that then helps establish a benchmark for where the business is at right now. And that business valuation allows you to make informed decisions. So is that part of the process you'd go through?
Very much so.
Yeah.
And also, along with the tired and along with the company that can't, the owner that can't get out of the business, there's a number of owners that are out there today that are facing a generation gap. They don't have a son or a trusted employee that's coming up that has leadership skills.
Right.
So what happens with those folks?
Well, it's a good question. I just sold a business at Christmas time that went through exactly that. Company been around for 80 years, a family company. There was 8 shareholders, and there was no next generation. So the business was doing okay. It had come off its highs. Its highs were obviously back in 2006, 2007. But the owners, the owner of the business, or the president of the company with his 8 shareholders, who are all family members, just had no next generation. So my challenge was to find a buyer, which I was able to end up doing. But it took time to do. They actually spent about 3 years trying to sell the business because of the economy and the nature of the business that we've been in. But it had 80-year history, so it had a pedigree. But it just, unless that leadership's there, unless that enthusiasm for the next generation is there, it just makes it difficult for all.
It is one of the problems with companies that are either distressed or that are seeing a downturn in sales. How long does it take to get a business prepared to sell?
It takes at least six weeks. By the time you do the valuation, put the marketing documents together, then start getting it out into the market. But by the time everyone reacts, and you know, it takes at least 6 weeks to do all that. So right. It's not a quick process.
And what's a common time?
It can be longer, because the owners of the business are thinking about selling. They're going through this emotional grieving process of saying, okay, yes, we are thinking of selling. Do we want to sell? And there's a big difference between we are thinking of selling and actually deciding to sell. There's a big difference. And so they can be slow getting documents back to you. And I'm working with a doctor who wants to sell his medical practice. I've been talking to him since October, and he tells me he wants to sell, but He's just not motivated to get the documents in place to get the process going, but he definitely wants to sell.
In the distress arena, we find there's a term called the debtor syndrome. It is a process that debtors go through often before they can honestly recognize that their business needs to be closed, and it takes a minimum of 6 weeks. Very similar.
It's interesting that psychological thing. I think we tend to discount it. We think it's real easy. You're just going to sell a business and get out. But there is a process, because it's a privately held business. It's owned by the family, or it's owned by the owner of the business, very emotionally attached to their business. And one of the first questions I'm asking when I'm talking to somebody that's selling is, why are you selling? And I'm looking for a good answer, as opposed to, I want to play more golf, or I want to play with the grandkids. That's really nice, but they can go and play with the grandkids right now. They can go and play golf right now. So you're really trying to work them through, what are you really wanting to do? What's your ultimate goal? Because if we get into this process and you change your mind, that's just going to be disappointing for everybody.
Right, as well as the owner who's built a business over 20 or 25 years is often a player. He's often a player. He's a guy who wants to do the deal.
Right.
He wants to sell the next product. He's thrilled about managing it, about getting it through his plant. That's not the guy in a distress situation to take the company apart. He's built it over 25 years. This economy has pulled, you know, Sacramento will tell you that 400,000 jobs were lost here in the construction business. Those were really good jobs. People making $65,000 to $85,000 a year with lots of overtime.
Right.
Today, 300,000 of those jobs have apparently been replaced. But they're being replaced with personal service jobs that make maybe $30,000.
Right.
The economists tell us that as much as $12 billion come out of the economy. That makes it really tough for business. Yeah. Now, the guy who's built his business up over 25 years lived through the time from 1998 to 2008, where our economy, our population was growing. And that growth was making it easy to run a business.
Right.
Since then, it's really crushed down on him.
Yeah.
That's a tough guy to be trying to drive a business through this kind of economy. He probably needs some professional help.
Yep. And it's frustrating too, because you listen to all these politicians in Sacramento and in Washington D.C. and they just seem so divorced, because they're slow making decisions, and it's the certainty and the confidence that the business owner needs to go ahead and make decisions. And when the government's talking about cutting expenses, which is, you know, it seems we have to do that, but there's no long-term thinking at a political level, and it's just making things difficult. We're about to head into a break. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm Andrew Rogerson. My guest this morning is Bob Greeley, and we're back shortly, and we'll pick up where we talked with Bob.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
After a seven-day rally, stocks are lower but little changed. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Charlie Pellett. Apple is down 1.4% as IDC predicts the company will lose market share in the tablet market. Scott Wren is senior equity strategist at Wells Fargo Advisors, and he says conditions are right for a move higher.
Well, I tell you right now, I think you've got two things working that might make the market go a little bit higher than what most people think. One is people starting to chase the market a little, and so I think that's definitely a factor. And also, the mentality now, as completely opposed to last year, is I'm waiting for a pullback. Everybody is waiting for a pullback. And when you get that combination of improving fundamentals, people starting to chase, and everybody waiting for the pullback, usually means the market's going to trade a little bit higher before it comes off.
The S&P 500 index down 4 points, a drop of 0.3%. Dow Industrials down 15, a decline of 0.1%. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
Do you know which investment is projected to double in price? Let's ask Scott Carter.
It's not stocks, it's not bonds, it's silver.
What's happening with silver?
Shortages are showing up because supply is critically low. In just the last 10 years, 90% of the world's supply has been used up.
Where are the shortages?
Well, twice this year, the U.S. Mint has run out of silver.
So where's the silver price headed?
We believe all the signs tell us silver should be double where it is now.
Before we went on, you told me Lear has a special offer on a new silver coin. What is it?
It's a 1.5-ounce silver polar bear coin. It's minted from the finest silver, it's the only 1.5-ounce coin on the market that carries a government guarantee, and it's eligible for IRAs. For a limited limited time, new customers can buy 20 silver polar bears and get one free. Our lowest price ever.
Folks, call 1-800-260-4461 now. The offer is limited. Invest just $5,000, and for each purchase of 20 silver polar bear coins, you'll get one free. That's 1-800-260-4461, 800-260-4461.
Hey, let me ask, what could you do with an extra $200, $300, even $500 a month? Think how that would feel. Well, one way to save a lot of money, even thousands a year, is to refi your home mortgage. Hi, I'm Hayes Barnard, founder of Paramount Equity, and today's new refi relief programs now make it possible to lower your mortgage payment and even pay off your house faster.
Paramount Equity saved us about $500 on our monthly mortgage.
Paramount Equity stepped up and actually pretty much saved the house.
We signed our papers, and it was $400 a month that we're currently saving.
We have a lower interest rate, and we're saving about $200 a month. Give them a call. They have all the answers.
Start saving immediately with unbelievable rates as low as 3.5%, APR 3.7. Realize today's rates and special programs aren't forever. So take the next 5 minutes to call us before they slip away. Call Paramount Equity for details. Get 290-9999. 916-290-9999.
Rates are subject to change. NMLS number 30336. Licensed by the Department of Corporations under the CRMLA. License number 4170047.
Money experts. Every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening this morning to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson, and I'm a certified business broker. This morning's guest on my show is Bob Greeley, and Bob's with the Greeley-Lindsay Management Group, and they help grow businesses, and they help businesses that are in distress. If you've got questions for Bob, you want to talk to Bob and bounce some questions off him, give him a call. His phone number is 916-484-4800. Again, 916-484-4800. Just prior to the break, Bob, we were talking about how distressed businesses are struggling and how you help them. The economy seems to be improving. Things seem to be getting better in Northern California and indeed across the country. With the economy getting stronger, is that better for business or not?
Well, it is better for business, but unfortunately, we see more companies fail at the uptick of the economy than happens in the latter portions of the downtick. So there's more companies that's at risk today than there have been even during the last 3 or 4 years.
So that's intriguing. The economy is getting better, so the perception is, okay, businesses are now starting to pull themselves out of the hole, but it's not quite the case. Why is that, Bob?
Well, in tough times, what happens with companies, they stretch out their suppliers to 90 or 120 days, and their suppliers go along with them because, after all, you want to sell product, you try and get it out there, but then you find that your customer can't pay us and he's in the hole, but you limp along with him. But what happens at the uptick, a new order comes in, let's say it's a $100,000 order with a company that's a manufacturer, and all he needs is $30,000 worth of raw material, and then he needs $30,000 worth of labor, and then he can sell the product for $100,000. So he goes to his supplier and he says, gee, just advance me $30,000 more material. But that guy's in a position where he no longer has the capacity to do that. And so he tells the owner, no, I can't do that. And at that point, and at this point in the economy often, the owner has stretched himself out with the bank. He stretches himself out with suppliers. He cannot find a source for that additional $30,000. Results often are that he's going to end up having to either sell his business or sell this order to a major competitor. I'm afraid we're probably looking at 10% of the manufacturing and distributors here in the Sacramento Valley probably won't make it. Wow. Out of this economy.
Yep, that's 10%. That's a huge hit on the economy and the effect it has. If you're talking to an owner and you from talking to them and doing analysis, the amount that they owe is more than the business is worth. What do you typically advise them? And obviously that's a sad situation to be in, but you know, if the business is struggling and the business value comes in less than the money that the owner owes,
well,
where do you go?
Yeah, I think the issue here is a number of legal and financial advisors would say, well, if you owe more than the assets it will bring, then you've got to look to a bankruptcy. And perhaps that was true at one time, but bankruptcy is usually not the best solution, and it's certainly a very costly solution. If you've got a couple $1 million in assets, you can spend anywhere from $50,000 to $250,000 in the bankruptcy arena. Just remember, when you file bankruptcy as a business, you pay for the creditors' attorneys to argue with your attorneys about how you're going to pay them with the proceeds of the sale. Most good bankruptcy attorneys will tell you that bankruptcy not only is costly, but it's probably not the first alternative. If the owner has integrity, and there's lots of owners who have been hit by this 2008 event, and it's a unique event. It wasn't their poor management that has caused them to have this problem. But in this situation, the guy with integrity probably has solutions that I would call orderly liquidation if he really is going to stop his business.
So what do you mean by an orderly liquidation? What's that involve?
Well, in the first case, an orderly liquidation can be as simple as just I stop and I liquidate everything and I distribute the money out to the people. But if I don't have enough money to pay all the people, then that's somewhat of a risky business to do on an owner's separate part, because there's no one to vouch for him. Normally, in those situations, you'd assign those assets over to a fiduciary, and that fiduciary would liquidate it and then could independently say that they have given the proceeds to the correct people. Let me give you an example. I think that might help. 3 or 4 years ago, a lady came to us she and her husband had worked in the business. Unfortunately, he had died in his 50s, and at that point, she owed too much money to quit. So she kept the business going. She had a high school son who needed to go to college. Company could make some money, did. 17 years later, she finds herself at 67 now, and the kid's through college. She guarantees the bank $110,000 loan. She owes her suppliers $50,000, and her business is only worth $130,000. So we helped her find a buyer, very willing to buy, but he wasn't willing to overpay.
Right.
We set up an organized structure where the proceeds paid off the bank, who was secured. They had the first right to the money. And then we took the additional money in pro rata that's equally distributed to all the creditors. Creditors, while they got 25 cents on the dollar, that's twice what they would have gotten in bankruptcy. There were no legal fees. When you look at it over the life of that business, even just the life that she'd run the business for 17 years, it was about a 1% discount to the people who'd supplied.
Right.
Frankly, most of the supply, and they were out in 90 days. They knew exactly what they were getting. They got their money. No stigma of bankruptcy.
Right.
So it was a much smoother transaction. She's a happy lady.
Sure. What happens if you get into that situation where you're working with the suppliers trying to negotiate a deal, and some of the suppliers won't agree on the outcome that others are agreeing? What's your situation there?
Well, you can do a negotiated settlement where you'd go to the suppliers and you talk them all into agreeing, but usually there is one or two holdouts. There's a thing called an assignment for the benefit of creditors here in California, in most states, but here in California. And it's a legal solution. It is recognized by the courts, and frankly, the courts recognize that it's one of the lowest cost ways for small businesses under 10 million, and it could be used for larger business too, but really below 10 million to get out of business. The owner actually assigns their rights to a third party. I've often been the assignee. I sell the assets or the business as a going concern. then I distribute the funds just as I would have as a bankruptcy trustee. Secured creditors come first, unsecured share pro rata and whatever's left. And again, it's a fairly quick transaction. It doesn't require a whole lot of time in court, and it probably gets done at anywhere from half or even less to what even a Chapter 7 liquidating bankruptcy would do.
Is there a complicating factor if the business is a union shop? Does an assignment for benefit of creditors work in a union shop situation?
It certainly can. I've had several that were made right when the company we first talked about. While it wasn't an assignment for benefit of creditors, it did have unions. Unions are skilled people. Companies that have unions have special issues, but they do have a skilled workforce, and that's really valuable to making something like this run. A few years ago, we did what I would refer to as a turnaround in a metal bending business. It had 24 contracts when we started for completion of construction on things like tomato processing factories. It had a great amount of integrity with its company or with its customers, by virtue of the unions who were well noted for doing quality work, delivering on time. But this company had made a couple, three investments, and the investments didn't work. So they were short on cash. They owed the bank a couple $1 million. And at the time we first looked at them, you going back to that start, what did we look at first? We looked at what a liquidation would generate. It had generated about $400,000, a far cry from the $2 million that the bank wanted, the $2 million that the bank owed. Right. But one of the pieces was, and we were appointed a receiver in that case, and one of the first things that happened on a Thursday morning, the union representative appeared at the door and was ushered into my office, and his first question was, are you going to pay my people? Mm-hmm. And my response was, yes, this week I'm going to pay your people. And he said, what about next week? And I said, I haven't got the forecast that far. Yeah. He said, well, I'll be back next week. And as he left, I called the banker and said, okay, if we're going to go forward, we've got to have enough money to pay the union. Are you going to assure me that we've got the union employees paid next week? The banker said, yes. And so we went on what amounted to a week-to-week standstill agreement with the union, such that we got their union employees paid every week. The union employees worked hard and did a great job.
Mm-hmm. So it's critical in that situation, obviously, to communicate with the unions and have them on board as a partner.
Exactly. Often the unions today very much understand the business situation that's involved. Often the union they're a tough negotiator because they are supporting their employees, but they're people that want to keep their employees employed. And so there's a good coordination there.
Thank you for listening today. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson. I'm talking with Bob Greeley. We're heading to a break, and when we come back from break, we'll have some more questions for Bob. Talk to you soon.
Call Money 105.5 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Ever wonder how clean your nail salon is? Well, you should. There are all kinds of nasty things that you can catch, like hepatitis, if your salon gets sloppy with the sanitation. How do you know? Well, look, for starters, see if the walls and the floors are clean. If they're not, pretty good sign. The places you don't see are even worse. For 4 years, the feds have been studying Ford SUVs. They're trying to figure out whether certain models can roll away, even when the transmission's in park. Well, it turns out that they can, but the feds say they're not going to do anything about it. Why? The traffic safety regulators say the defect only affects a few models, so a recall wouldn't be worth it. Honest, it took them 4 years, and that was the best they could come up with. Chewing gum used to be just, well, for fun, but then Nicorette came along and people started using it to stop smoking. And now Wrigley's is introducing a caffeinated chewing gum. It's said to work faster than coffee or energy drinks because it's absorbed directly into the bloodstream, not through the digestive tract. It's called Alert Energy. It should be hitting the shelves soon. I'm Stacey Cohen. Learn more at consumeraffairs.com.
When golf legend Johnny Miller designed Whitney Oaks, he probably never imagined ordinary golfers like us would ever get to play a course like this one for only $7 and change. But we can with the Super 6 Golf Card. Play Whitney Oaks in Rockland and five other courses, all for $7.66 per round with the Super 6 Golf Card. On sale for a limited time at CrazyPriceMall.com. CrazyPriceMall.com, making golf affordable with the Super 6 Golf Card.
Money Experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening this morning to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson. My guest this morning is Bob Greeley, and Bob's with the Greeley Lindsay Management Group. And just prior to the break, we were talking about a metal construction business, and it found itself in trouble. And Bob was talking to me about working with the unions and getting help from them. Bob, tell me about the bank. What was the situation with the bank? The bank were obviously concerned about their situation. Did they want to force the business into bankruptcy?
Well, they didn't want to force the company into bankruptcy because bankruptcies would have taken a lot of time, and there were 24 construction contracts out there to the likes of Gallo and SunSuite and other food processors. This was at a time when they were off season and doing manufacturing changes in their plants. So they didn't. And if they just stopped the business, they figured they'd get about $400,000 out of the equipment. So they wanted to continue. They did want close supervision. So they did take it over to the state court and set up a receivership. But they did it by negotiating. The owners and the bankers agreed to what powers they'd give the receiver. So I was given the powers in that case to actually run the business and actually sell the business, as well as negotiate these contracts. So we actually went in and ran the business under that receivership order, and we were able to finish up the contracts that were involved. We were able to sell the equipment with the court's approval to a new operator, and that allowed us to get the 43 people employed in a new company and keep that work ongoing.
So from listening to you, what I'm finding interesting is that every situation, every business transaction you're doing, all the work you're doing, it has unique properties. So there's no simple template that you follow this template and you'll get an outcome. You really have to work in the economy, in the industry, in the situation to work out what's the best outcome to get for all the parties involved.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a situation where when we had a fish processor here in Sacramento,
yep,
on very hot August days, we needed to keep the electricity in place in the cooling plant or we were going to lose the whole process. Same thing goes on in the wine industry when you have white wines and stored in aluminum tanks. If you don't turn on the electricity or keep it on, you have vinegar the next morning. So very much industry driven.
So at the start of the show, we were talking about cash and cash being king. What else drives a turnaround? Anything else that's important?
Well, integrity.
Yeah.
You've got to hit your marks. You make forecasts and then you outperform them. I liken it to playing ninth inning baseball. As long as you go up and you get walks or singles, you don't overrun yourself, you eventually win. Right. And this is a game where you need to get walks and singles and be just good, basic, hardline business.
So you've been doing this for 30 years. That's not a short period of time. Obviously, you enjoy doing it. What do you enjoy the most about what you do?
Probably the thing I like the most is perhaps the sales cycle. I mentioned it before. You get a call on Monday by a hurried and worried owner who invites you in to talk with him on Tuesday. on Wednesday you start working and you may work 24 hours a day for the next 2 days, and you sit down with the banker and you say, over the last 24 hours, I've been able to find the following. That's really exhilarating work.
Yeah.
It's also work where we get a decision by the from the buyer probably 2 days after we first meet him.
Right.
I don't enjoy 6 month sales cycles.
Right, right. That's one of the hazards of what I do. You know, selling a business for fair market value, it can involve, you know, 8, 10, 12 months before the business finally gets sold, or even longer. So what are some of the things you least like about what you do, Bob? You're talking about what you like, but what do you least like about what you'd have to do?
Well, you have to recognize that many of these distressed businesses are poorly organized. Mm. That means that you have to determine fairly quickly what stays and what doesn't. For the folks that don't get to stay, probably the best thing you can do for them is let them off early. So let them certainly know early that they're not going to be there. Sometimes you can arrange for a 3 to 6 month or 6 week interview schedule while people work with you in the turn down or in the slowdown while they're out interviewing with good companies. One of the things you really want to do is take care of your people, because they ultimately drive the business even during the wind down.
Yep.
So it's hard to lay off people,
yep,
but it's usually getting them onto a better life, better situation.
Yep, it's critical. The value of good people in a business, a business is about people. It's about cash flow, it's about integrity, but it's also about people. And if the people aren't missing, if the skills aren't missing, then the business has a very low chance of succeeding. Would you agree with that?
Very much so.
Yeah. The work you do, how does someone prepare to do the sort of work you do? Did you have a formal college education that took you through this?
Well, I do have a finance degree and a MBA or master's. Much of what I do is about the integrity that I bring to the package. I think I got a lot of that from working for Wells Fargo for 13 years and learning about conflicts of interest. There's a lot of accounting and a lot of marketing that goes into. A lot of people think finance is great. First, I'm a finance guy.
Right.
It's not about the analyticals. It's about where things get sold. So marketing drives the financial plan. It's no good unless you can sell either the product or the business, or again the integrity of the business to someone. So there's a lot of marketing involved. Good solid finance is critical too.
And I think it's equally critical is the relationships you have with other professionals. So as you're doing the work you do, you've got bankers and attorneys and accountants and people you can reach out to that can bring in a level of expertise to help you work through a situation.
Very much so. Bringing good professionals to the team, understanding the professionals that are on the opposite side of the team, so that you're speaking from a commonality. One of the things when I started my business, I thought that a lot of bankers, I'd loaned a lot of money over the 13 years before I started the consulting business. But I often found that the owners in the business and the bankers didn't know how to talk to each other. So it was an issue of vocabulary and understanding. Today, I find the same thing with the attorneys involved and the bankers involved, sometimes with the judges involved. To help them understand what's going on within the business is really critical.
So Bob and I met through the Turnaround Management Association. I know they've got a office in San Francisco. Bob, what else is available? What other organizations are in the Sacramento or Northern California area?
Well, first, quickly about the Turnaround Managers Association. There's a meeting in Roseville the last Friday of every month at 7:30. We get together for breakfast. There's a number of organizations in the distress arena. The Turnaround Managers Association of Northern California has a website that you can get their meetings on. Here in Sacramento, there's the Sacramento Valley Receivers Association or Forum, and the Sacramento Bankruptcy Forum are two other groups that have a number of educational programs and bring the professionals together.
So we came up to the top of the hour. I'd like to thank my guest this morning, Bob Greeley from the Greeley Lindsay Management Group. If you want to get hold of Bob, you can tell by the answers to the questions I've been giving. He knows what he's talking about. He's been doing it for 30 years, and he's fed his family and paid his bills. So obviously he knows what he's doing. If you'd like to get hold of Bob, his phone number is 916-484-4800. Again, Bob Greeley, 916-484-4800. Bob, thanks for being a guest this morning.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Next week, we've got a show. We've got an interesting guest. His name is Josh Lucas, and Josh is from a company called Orig Audio. And he's from Northern California, actually grew up in Danville. But he was successful in winning the Entrepreneur Magazine Entrepreneur of the Year. And so so Josh is my guest next week. He's like the folks at HP, Mr. Hewlett and Mr. Packard. They started their business in the garage, and that's what Josh did. Had a crazy idea and borrowed $10,000 from his mom, and he's turned that into a multi-million-dollar international company that has recycled speakers and other different products. But he won Entrepreneurs Magazine Entrepreneur of the Year, so I thought it'd be great to have Josh come on board and just tell us about what he's done. And he's only a young guy. I think he's 29, 30 years old. He was on the ABC's Shark Tank on season two. So I've got Josh coming on the show next week. He'll be calling in from Southern California. I think he lives down in the San Diego area, but he's the guest next week. So should be fun having Josh come in and tell us how he won Entrepreneur of the Year. So thank you for listening. You're listening to 105.5 FM, Money 2.0. I'm Andrew Rogerson, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.